you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Bears.
You better get on the Bears right now. You better get on the Bears. They're coming.
There's an energy in this building.
You know, history's the history. I'm done talking about it. We're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way.
I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, top five defense that we had last year.
Bears are coming.
Bear down, baby.
Let's go win the Super Bowl. Bear down.
Bear down. Let's go.
Bring it. What?
We're here.
We're here.
Hell yeah! Training camp is underway, and we get to just start projecting hope and optimism, if that's your thing. We are coming out of, statistically, the worst year in Chicago sports history in terms of win-loss records for the big five teams in town. So, forgive me if I get a little excited about the number one draft pick quarterback joining a seven-win team.
No, this is nice. Your blind optimism,
it's
thoroughly
not,
blind,
it's not blind,
unreasoned. I know, I'm just lashing out. Your optimism is joined by tons of people on this, and joined by me. How can you not be optimistic?
That's what I'm saying.
How can you not be? Yeah.
So it's an exciting Bears training camp, and it has begun at Halas Hall. Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live. That gets me excited, too. It's tonight from 6 to 6:30 right here on The Score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Again, we should mention, Jed Hoyer is speaking at Wrigley Field later on this afternoon. We will have it in the late 4, early 5 o'clock hour of the show. We got a Mark Grody Bears report coming up at 5, so we'll be very busy at the end of the show today with news from both Halas Hall and Wrigley Field.
Okay, we can talk some more Cubs later.
We'll talk a little bit more Cubs
later.
All
right.
The Caleb conversation is an interesting one for a number of reasons. We have gone through, just you and me together, in the 7+ years that I've been at The Score. You've obviously been doing this professionally a lot longer for a lot more Bears quarterbacks than I have. I've lived through it as a fan and a Chicagoan, but like professionally, you and I have done the whole Mitch Trubisky thing. Trading up second overall pick, then Justin Fields.
Trading up again.
That's what I'm saying. Trading up 11th overall pick, and his excitement. Mitch, Pro Bowler, alternate, but still. Playoff season, double doink. Fields, historic rushing numbers, crazy highlight reel. But this is a different level of prospect. It's the number one pick. And as has become commonly accepted, even if you are pumping the brakes on rookie expectation a bit, even those people would concede, on paper, this is as good of a situation as a number one pick has walked into in any city, anywhere in the NFL, in any of our lifetimes.
Without a doubt. And we have, it's been really instructive to live through Mitch and to live through Justin Fields. And as you referenced in my case, to live through all of Jay Cutler. You know, and some stuff before that. And I mean, to broadcast through all of that. But this is different. Usually we're watching for a quarterback to take a leap, you know, in a year where the team is hopefully going to win, right? All right, Mitch needs to take the leap, and then they can really move forward. You know, what do we call it? Nagy 2.0.
Yeah.
Called the offense 2.0. Okay, Justin needs to take the leap like Jalen Hurts took and, you know, become a better pocket quarterback, and then the Bears can move forward. This is, hey, rookie, come win right now. Come into a winning situation right now. And that, to me, that changes the context completely. It's not about, you know, taking a kind of leap and an intellectual advance. It's about learning, but just learning the right stuff and learning to control oneself and not make the mistakes that a normal rookie would. Mitch and Fields, it was like, go out there, kid. If you make mistakes, that's okay. That's all right. This is go out there, kid, and please don't make mistakes because we're pretty good and we should be able to win some games. It makes for a different kind of approach, in my opinion.
It does, but that's not necessarily what they're saying.
I don't. Well, let's listen to what they're saying, because yeah. I thought Ryan Poles laid it out at the very end of their press conference the other day. It's a question by our colleague, our guy Chris Emma. I really was looking forward to talking about this with you and with the listeners and see what they think about the way that Ryan Poles described this.
Yeah, it's really just to maximize his ability. I think I want to see, and we've talked about this, just leaning on the talent around him as well. I think it's got to be comforting to know, like, you don't have to do everything on your own, which makes it a pretty good situation for a young quarterback. And really just, there's going to be adversity. And I just want to see him lean on all of us to get through those moments. And then when it's, you know, you're clicking and in the zone, that those high moments are high, and we just continue to learn and continue to get better every single week and every day.
So I hear lean on the talent around you.
Yep.
Don't put it all on yourself. And I hear that they're going to want him to play with instructor and throw a lot of quick stuff, use this incredible amount of wide receiver talent you have, and don't think that you have to extend the play as much as you might in a normal situation. Certainly as much as you have in the past, and certainly as much as you might for a bad team. We're actually a good team with a ton of talent. And now you might argue that I'm hearing what I want to hear in some of that. But I'm hearing, kid, don't hurt us and don't think you have to put it all on yourself. Use everybody that's here. We've given you this nest. Now take advantage of it without putting it all on yourself.
I think that you are projecting a little bit. Just a little, though. Like I'm with you on maybe 85% of what you just said. Because no doubt about it, hey, you don't have to be Superman. Swift, good player. Komet, good player. DJ Moore, good player. Keenan Allen, good player. Rome Odunze, should be really good player. Get the ball out of your hands and into their hands.
In time, in structure, let them make a play. No need to ask your offensive line to block for 5 seconds.
Yeah, but that's what everyone is asked to do in the NFL. Like that when it's by design, there's no offense that's like, we're going to just go out there and play backyard football and improv. That's what it's the, they call it off schedule throws for a reason. It's when it breaks down, when the read isn't there, when the guy gets jammed and the timing gets thrown off on the timing route. Is he a guy that can do the Rodgers thing and do the Josh Allen thing and do the Mahomes thing and make something else happen? And I will be very surprised if they coach that out of him. If they say, we just want you to spike the ball, take the 4-yard sack, go fetal position, throw the ball away, and just live to fight another day.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. But in those instances where he might think, time for me to tuck and run, or time for me to tuck and create,
yeah,
tuck and scramble, and then hope I get an adjustment and make a play. I think they're going to want him to do that less this year than they'd be comfortable with him doing when he knows things more in year two or year three or certainly beyond that.
That's probably true, too. I think he played in structure at USC and then he played out of structure at USC and it was by necessity. He has said, we talked to, the quarterback coach. I'm sorry, why am I blanking on his name?
Will Hewlett?
Will Hewlett. He told us that he's been craving structure.
Yes.
So I don't think this is a big conflict, is what I'm saying. I don't think that this is like a sell job or a transformation or something that's like that they're asking him to do something that is entirely like he's been studying elite quarterback play and training to be an elite quarterback his whole life.
Sure. And I don't think it's a sell job. I don't think it's a transformation. I think it is hopefully an exploitation of one certain area of it, which is easier to succeed with because there are fewer inherent mistakes that come with the other stuff, adjusting to NFL speed while he's on the edge and learning to make that play and learning what he can and can't do going around the edge. I think they'd like him to test those boundaries a lot less during games because of their situation in a winning year, because of their situation where they are.
See, I think that's projecting a little bit because I think that to win big, and DJ Moore's not interested in 9-8, he wants a Super Bowl. To win big, and that's possible, man. It is possible that this team, if Caleb is excellent, and again, not saying this is the expectation or the standard where he has to be, but if he is Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, like if he is that level good as a rookie, this is a Super Bowl contender.
But they don't have to have him stretching all of those boundaries and pushing against those and showing all of that at the beginning of the year and here in his first training camp. You're not setting the template for the entire season with this camp and with your first few games.
Let's hear Keenan Allen on how he described the mindset and approach of Caleb Williams.
I thought it was great. Like I said today, he was real solid. He called the plays way better than he was in OTAs. He felt confident in the plays and knowing what he was doing. And, there was no timidness from him, today. So.
See, now that's great. That's great to hear that this concern that we had, that they had in OTAs about the volume of his voice and the cadence of all and all that stuff, it is better. That's awesome. But that doesn't address the fine points of what I think Poles is talking about, which is that decision, three-step drop. Do I let it go or do I hang on to it for a little bit more? When in doubt, Justin, let it go.
Oh, I agree.
Five-step drop. Do I let it go or do I tuck and scramble and try to create? When in doubt, especially early, Justin, just let it go.
If we get to a point in games where the All-22 is showing that he's passing up singles and looking for homers and then not hitting homers,
mm-hmm.
Keenan Allen's open on a slant. He doesn't let it fly. He rolls out left and he throws a 50-yard pass to Roma Dunze that's intercepted. That is absolutely a valid criticism and something that needs to be reined in and needs to be, hey, man, take your single if it's there. Like I'm completely with you on that. But he also might be the guy that does complete the 50-yard pass, that passes up the slant for the bomb,
yep,
because he can hit the bomb.
For sure.
And we're not going to be critical of that. And that is the ceiling. That's the representation of MVPs. That is the representation of resetting the quarterback market, having Mahomes, having Allen, having Herbert, having Stroud, having our version of Favre. That thing, that skill set, that I call it big game hunting.
That's the dream.
Touchdown to check down. And I don't want to deny the ceiling.
That's going to come out. He seems to have that, and if he does have that, that is going to come out. What I'm talking about here is like the sequence of exposure to channel Trent Dilfer as they are teaching him what he needs to do in the NFL. And you're talking about the end game, and that might be towards the end of this season or in the second half of this season. But I'm talking about first training camp, beginning of the season, first steps, learn this stuff and stay nice and basic, because you might be good enough as a team to win a whole bunch of games without having to put yourself and your team in harm's way on the edge. He'll have to do all of it. He'll absolutely have to do all of it. But I'm fascinated here at the beginning of how they might ask him to do less at the beginning, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do. I assume we're going to do a show from training camp. We've got Mark Grody out there. We got Chris Emma out there. Ryan Poles has already spoken, but it's a good question for Shane Waldron. It's a good question for Caleb, but maybe not as good for Caleb as it is for Waldron or Eberflus. Like, mm-hmm. What level of mistakes because of aggression are you willing to live with, if at all, in the name of quarterback development at the expense of maybe it costs you 7 points?
Yes, that is the question. And also, what level of restraint are you asking this young quarterback to have on himself, at least at the beginning, as he learns the ways? Because he could be a guy that can play with that restraint and not have it kill the instincts, not have it be coached out of him. And I understand your concerns.
I do not want it coached out of him.
But he seems like a much stronger individual and a more confident individual than some of the quarterbacks where we have seen them affected by coaching, have seen them affected by it.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, if this team can dink and dunk and three-step drop its way to a great season, obviously, fine, great, awesome. I'm here for it. I will be very surprised if we don't see some of the magic also.
We'll need to.
And I think the magic will come with mistakes. Oh, he misread that. He got blindsided. He fumbled. And then it'll be up. My guess is I'll have a higher tolerance for those mistakes than you will.
Yeah. Well, I think that could be true. This is a nuanced conversation. This is a conversation that, you know me, I'd love to find a way to quantify some of this stuff. How many times does he tuck and run? How many times is it designed for him to have a long time? How many times does he simply just hand it off? You know, there'll be all of that. But really, it's the tuck and run. And what percentage of it is he going to make the decision to go ahead and just take the single, knowing full well that when the moment demands, he's got the other stuff. So, and some of that is not going to be controlled by coaches. Some of that's just going to be him and how they ask him to think about it, how they ask him to play.
We have big NBA news, and we've got more Caleb to discuss, but we should pass along this. TNT Sports has apparently matched the Amazon deal, and they are going to try to keep at least a portion of the NBA package on TNT.
Wow.
Which would obviously keep Inside the NBA alive in its current form. Charles Barkley has, you know, threatened retirement. Ernie Johnson has made it clear that he will not leave Turner. They still, in theory, have one more year of the NBA rights deal. There is still some uncertainty at this point as to what this means. There was talk of creating a fourth rights package for Turner that would be less premium games. NBC, obviously ABC, Disney, and Amazon. And then there's talk of a fourth of lesser games for Turner for loyalty to Turner and for Inside the NBA.
But this is the third tier of the three. So it's the lowest end.
Of the ones that exist. Right. Yeah, so it looks like TNT, and they've got some, you know, parent media company issues with their stock price and money and profitability, but it looks like they are making a play to match the offer of Amazon and keep a rights package for Turner.
Here's the NBA's agreement with Prime Video, as far as we know, according to the New York Times. Amazon, in this case, Turner, would have 6 conference finals, a full playoff slate, including the play-in games, and a regular season package highlighted by the in-season tournament and Thursday night basketball after Amazon concludes its Thursday night football responsibilities. So that's a big portion.
I mean, conference finals games is that's when Turner signed off. That's basically the Turner package. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
With the exception of Turner doesn't have the Thursday night conflict, so it's an all-year thing instead of just later in the season.
Right, and the in-season tournament, I forget where the in-season tournament was last year. I don't know that it was on Turner. I feel like it was on ESPN.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. And the play-in games, I feel like the play-in games were on ESPN as well. But either way, that does sound like the Turner package, if not a little bit more, that Amazon was going to get and now Turner will keep.
But it's not definitive that they're keeping it yet, correct?
Mm.
It's that they have matched it. But that there is still something to be ironed out. I do not get that it is definitive here. They've exercised the right to contractually match a bid, potentially setting up a legal battle between the company and the league. Because apparently Amazon was willing to put more money up front, obviously, because they've got
Jeff
Bezos' cash. This is not a done deal. It just means that this could go to the courts, and that TNT still is now signaling that they don't want to lose the business of the NBA. So
You're right.
This is not a done deal.
The NBA is expected to decline the network's right to take the agreed upon Amazon package,
and then they might try to sue. Yeah. So,
oh great,
yeah, no, I know, but this is not a you matched, great, we're thrilled to stay with you. Like they want Bezos's money, they want to partner with Amazon and the streaming platform, and Thursday Night Football has worked, and he pays more money up front than cash, and you know, so they definitely want Amazon to be involved. So the NBA is they're sentimental about inside the NBA, but not nearly as much as we all are.
ESPN okay. and TNT for last year's in season tournament.
Okay, thank so you, it was sir. Split. Thank you.
Okay.
So yeah, so this is not over.
So this will be a lot more like protracted legal fighting and wrangling, perhaps during the final season on Turner.
Yeah, we'll do it during property rights in Arlington Heights on the stadium deal and the Cubs offense and the White Sox trade deadline.
God, that's joyless, right, Tanny?
That's what
all that stuff is so joyless for me.
Hey, I find joy in all of this. Working in a major market like this with the best crew around.
Who's that? Oh, you mean us? That's not how you usually talk about it. That's interesting.
I was
interesting.
Talking about being at the remote earlier.
You meant Rich Sorry. Wyatt. You yeah, meant Rich yeah, Wyatt yeah, and all
yeah.
the engineers.
Connor, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, very talented crew.
Yeah, there's a good crew.
Over there.
And then there's us.
The comp that is going to get thrown around a lot by me and others about Caleb Williams in this year. A prominent NFL person says it's unfair. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Danny, love to you, love to speak. I give love to Shane, and same thing goes for Danny.
Afternoons on The Score.
CJ did a wonderful job, the offensive staff, and D'Amico did a wonderful job last year with those guys. And again, our situation is our situation. So everything's unique, every building's unique in the NFL, every situation is unique, and we're excited about working with our situation and making it the best we can.
Love talking to or hearing that guy talk.
The flus, baby.
It's fun.
How can you not be enthusiastic about football?
I am about football.
I and the Bears.
I am about the Bears.
How are you doing about Team USA?
Oof.
Right now.
Yeah, you know, they're losing to Germany.
Yeah, they are.
they're losing to Germany in the third quarter with 2 minutes left.
This was supposed to be better than the dream team in 92, I think is what we were told at a national level.
Yeah, you know, the morning show's already sort of put that on Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Every Team USA failure or near failure,
sure,
Danny's got to wear that one.
If they're not arguing about who's carrying the flag at the opening ceremonies.
Yeah. Oh, they argued about that this morning?
Yeah. Dustin does not like it.
That LeBron's doing it?
He doesn't like it.
He was nominated and they voted for him.
That's amazing.
He's won gold twice. He's won a bronze.
And
he's,
he really doesn't like that Jonathan Owens is being given the time to go watch his wife in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, really doesn't like that.
I hope she gets to do it.
I think she will. Because they announced that there's going to be a female with LeBron. It'll be her.
There's a male and a female. I think, and the visual of LeBron at his size and Simone Biles at her size.
It'd be fun.
Next to each other carrying the flags. Let's go.
Speaks, can you talk about Dustin and his take? And you could just turn the TV on and see her anywhere.
What, Simone Biles?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're trying to throw ones, you should just be Bears camp. They can bring a TV down. We'll bring a TV down for you. You can wear a vest. They'll bring a TV down for you, and you can watch your wife that way. I'm a little broken right now.
You are broken.
I'm damaged.
I put you on the spot there. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, I mean, that's good. What improv's about.
I'm just your, I'm just your jukebox, you know? We never do that to you with Pat Mahomes.
Never.
Never.
Not enough.
Never make you rise to the moment. The U.S. almost lost to South Sudan.
I saw that.
South Sudan wasn't a country until, like, what, 15 years ago? 12 years ago? They weren't a basketball team until 2013, and yet...
Well, this team's pretty talented, this Team USA team. The problem is...
Dual dong, ding, dang.
This Germany team they're losing to now is good.
Yeah,
they've got the Wagners. The
Wagners.
Franz Wagner. They've got Dennis Schröder. They got Daniel Theiss. You know,
former bull.
Yeah.
Oh man, if Germany beats Team USA, we might need to try for the impromptu Flew Laborg.
Oh,
the Flew Laborg on the fly.
You know what?
I haven't talked to him in months.
No matter, reach out, see if he's watching. He's such a hoops fan.
Yeah,
he's such a man. I'm sure he's watching.
Tell him if Germany beats. If Germany
even
beats
if they don't.
Team USA.
Post game with Flula.
Right.
I mean, how much time's left in the game? When's it going to be over?
There's one minute left in the third quarter. So
Germany's up five. Germany's up five. Flula's going nuts right now. I'm sure he's filling his lederhosen right now.
Oh, I'm so excited about the Superior Bowl. Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that's just what needs to happen.
Oh, dude, there's a party at Flula's house right now. There's schnitzel for everybody. And I know that's Austrian.
I'm glad you do.
This game is the most confused game of that I am knowing.
Oh my God.
He's going to get this text from Shane and be like, I'm watching Hoops.
Leave me alone. Andreas Hoops just hit a three.
I'm not ready to prepare my shenanigans for you Americans.
I don't have time for your shenanigans.
He's usually a pretty quick responder. I'm sure we'll have a
tomfoolery in
Belly. You guys are in this delicious city. You can breathe in the same oxygen that like Bill Wennington breathed in and Will Perdue. Perhaps he used the same restroom as you guys some weeks ago. Who knows?
So yeah, we'll see if Flula can come on when this game is over. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, there's a lot going on here. Back to the topic at hand. Mike Mayock was on with Steve Rosenblum over the weekend, and we're going to be talking a lot about expectations for Caleb Williams. And listen, maybe this is too reductive and too basic of me, but Caleb is a better prospect than Stroud. Going to a better offensive situation than Stroud. I don't think it is unreasonable to suggest that it is possible that Caleb would have a better year than Stroud, even though Stroud, and again, just possible given those two facts that going into Caleb's rookie year, we would all have said Bear situation better than Texan situation. Caleb, higher-rated prospect than Stroud, number one pick versus number two pick. It doesn't strike me as unfair. Mike Mayock seems to disagree.
I think Caleb Williams has a huge upside, and I watched a lot of his tape, and I'm a believer in him. But to hold him to the C.J. Stroud threshold, I think, is unfair to the kid. What C.J. Stroud did was generational last year. Nobody could have expected it. The season he had, the poise he played with, the ability to get them to 10 wins in a playoff, that was rare. You don't see that season every 20, 30, 40 years in the NFL from a rookie first-round quarterback. So I don't think you should put that kind of expectation as a fan on Caleb Williams. What you should expect from Caleb Williams is a guy that's invested, all in, first guy in the building, last to leave, and gets a little better each week. And hopefully, at no point does it become too big for him. And my only concern offensively, you know, you mentioned his weapons. He does. I mean, his top three wideouts as a group are, you know, a top three or four wideout group in the league. The running back situation, really good. The tight end situation, outstanding. My concerns are the offensive line, pass protection. You know, that center position has not been very good for the Bears for several years. They traded for Ryan Bates. They signed Shelton in free agency. How good is the left tackle going to play, Braxton Jones? How will that line mesh together and help protect him? Can the run game take pressure off of him? Is the defense going to get better? Are they going to have to score a lot of points to win games? So there's a whole bunch of things he can't control. So I would say the C.J. Stroud thing is unfair to any rookie quarterback, number one. And number two, I would say you won seven games last year, and you've got a chance to do better than that this year, especially because I think the schedule is gettable. But they've got to get better in certain positions. It's not just about the rookie quarterback.
Man, you forget how good Mayock is at this kind of stuff because, frankly, he was pretty terrible as a football boss. But he's great at this stuff. I know the first part of it is statistical, and you don't feel it's as much of an outlier in terms of Stroud. But I thought the second part.
Don't get me wrong. It's 90th percentile. It's very, very good. Uh-huh. It's just. Not the best we've ever seen in any category.
Yeah, but overall, he's saying in terms
of... It's one of the best rookie seasons ever.
Right.
No doubt. But no doubt.
There's so much that was situational about it working the way it did for Stroud that it is not... It doesn't have to be the same way for Caleb, and all the situations might change. Like, you'll know from your eye test, if he's at 3,600 yards instead of 4,300 yards, you'll know from your eye test whether he had a great year or not, and you shouldn't let the statistics get in the way of that analysis.
I agree with that completely. I'm not... It doesn't have to be that rigid. I agree. If he throws a few more interceptions and a few fewer yards, but he has more touchdowns... Like, I agree with that. I'm not saying he absolutely has to be more than 23 touchdowns and fewer than 5 interceptions and more than 4,100 yards and he has to win 2 playoff games other than 1. That's obviously not what I'm saying. I'm just like, I think that it's reasonable to say that he can and should be in the ballpark. In the ballpark. Like, the Texans have a better left tackle than the Bears. No doubt about it. They have Laremy Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
He's a top 3 left tackle in football. Other than that, where would we have said last year, not this year, going into last year, where would we have said that Texans team on offense is better than this Bears team on offense? Because I don't think we would have said Nico Collins and Tank Dell are better than DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
We wouldn't have.
And I don't think we would have said that Bobby Slowick is this proven mastermind of a play caller and offensive coordinator because he hadn't done it before.
Yeah, and what is Devin Singletary?
Yeah, now they added Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce
and Devin Singletary.
Yeah, we would not have said that's better than DeAndre Swift, who's coming off of a, you know, whatever it was, 1,100 yard season.
Whoever
last year, who's in the Pro Bowl.
I don't know who their center is, but I know that he's better than what the Bears have had at center.
Fine. Juice Scruggs is there this year. I don't know what it was last year. I don't know off the top of my head, but we would not have said that situation for Stroud is better than this.
Yeah, I know quarterback rating is imperfect. We could look at QBR, you know, the ESPN metric that actually Dilfer was a part of creating. But, like, that's the stuff that I want to look at is touchdown to interception ratio within that. And, yes, yardage matters, but the situation is going to matter so much. Like, looking at the top 5 of rookie quarterback ratings, it's not all big yards. You've got... Dak at 3,600 yards, which is good, obviously, but Russell Wilson at 3,100 yards. You give me Russell Wilson's rookie season with that success and that secondary, sign me up 10 times out of 10 for that from Caleb. If it's 3,100 yards and they win a bunch of games and he's got a QB rating of 100 like Russell Wilson, hell yes, let's go.
I'm with you. I'm with you on all of that in terms of the, and especially when it comes to the team's success. It's going to be really hard for me to believe that it's unfair to bring up a season that we just saw last year in a situation that is on paper not as good as this one. Because it is getting easier to perform as a rookie in the NFL at quarterback than it was back in the day. Because the offenses in the NFL are more like the college offenses now. So like when we say best rookie quarterback seasons ever, we notice any themes of them? They're all in the last decade. Because it's getting easier to do it. We're not talking about John Elway and Brett Favre and Troy Aikman and guys like that anymore. They're all recent because it's a more pass-friendly league and it's a more college-style offense in the NFL. So I don't think at all we should be like, definitely won't be like what the Texans had last year. No, it could be.
Yeah, the top 13 of these quarterback years by quarterback ratings among rookies are all since 2012, except for Matt Ryan in 2008.
So it's going to be very hard to convince me that I can't hold this guy to very, very high standards when this trend is pretty regular at this point. We got a lot more Bears to do. We're going to hear from Jed Hoyer. We're going to track this Team USA game. Mark Grody with the Bears Report at 5 o'clock. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on the Score.
Our own Bruce Levine is reporting that Julian Merriweather is back. He has not been activated as of this moment, but there is a reinforcement in the bullpen back at Wrigley Field.
That is a massively important bullpen arm who has a history of injury problems, but they were counting on him to be a big, big part of things. He is closer caliber. He certainly was successful as an eighth inning guy last year. It's a very important arm to have back in the mix. Wish he was there all year long.
That would have helped.
Maybe I wouldn't be quite as broken as I am today.
You are broken, and I respect the irrationality of it.
I'm thoroughly irrational. I'm unreasonable. I cannot be saved.
Well, this idea that I'm seeing from you and others of like the fire, the passion. Why isn't the manager yelling at people? What the hell's going on here? So I'm at the game on Sunday with nephew Jack, right? And Schoed is having an amazing game, and it's scoreless, and then they're down 1-0. And then in the, I think it was late seventh, after the stretch, or somewhere in there, like late in the game, seven innings have been played. They do on the scoreboard the game recap highlights.
Oh, yeah, that can be grim when the team has been ass. It was grim on Saturday night.
And we're making the joke to each other like, what are these highlights going to be?
Shota.
They were, sure. And in that game, you were just showing an array of strikeouts from different camera angles. That's what, because there at that point had been three total base runners when they were doing this. So my question to you is, how are you supposed to, it's a chicken or the egg argument.
Okay.
How are you supposed to show a bunch of the fire and the passion when you've got two base runners and you have no hits? Like you're high-fiving Shota. You're pumped that he's striking guys out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's causal. Like they're dabbing. They're putting on buckets on their head. They don't have a lot to celebrate because they are not hitting the baseball.
When we're bad as a show, okay, and we're down, somebody needs to step up and be like, okay, come on. Let's go. Let's focus. We got this. All right. Let's
go. That's a bad take.
No! Shane usually does it. Shane sometimes does it. Or sometimes, well, maybe. Yeah. Shane should do it. No, he does. When a band is down, if there's something has gone wrong.
You just start sleeping with each other.
No. One of us will look around at each other and be like, okay, It's all right, let's refocus. Come on, we got this. And you make a joke, you whatever, you help each other calm down. All I know is that human stuff that gets you better, it doesn't look like it's happening.
Really?
To me, it doesn't look like it's happening.
So what is the...
I don't know. I can't prove it to you.
No, but like, what is the dab celebration on the basis that is relatively new?
Yeah, that's them trying. That is absolutely them trying. But it takes the success first.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
For it to be visible. No, but for it to be visible. I'm talking about... I'm wondering if it's happening behind the scenes. I'm wondering if it's happening in the clubhouse. I'm wondering if it's happening in the dugout.
But Speaks, don't you sometimes need the fun to inspire the success? Sometimes they happen at the same time. Sometimes one happens before the other. Sometimes mm-hmm. one happens after the other. Sometimes maybe Danny's right. And I don't.
Just like you what don't Lauren said in transition.
That's a bad take.
I'm never in line with Danny. I think maybe that's Danny's doing. But maybe they just need to inspire the success with the fun.
Look, this is not stuff that's provable to people's eyes as you're watching, and it sure as hell doesn't show up on the stat sheet. I'm admitting that there is a human part of this where the cycle can be stopped anywhere along the way. You can add the optimism and the energy anywhere along the cycle, and maybe it will help in that circle bring about the success.
They should stop stopping the cycle. Someone should hit for the cycle. That would help.
Yordan Alvarez just did. He's not on this team.
A different team.
I'm broken. I don't know. I'm not happy with myself.
Okay.
It's not your fault.
It's a good take.
I really take exception.
I was just setting up Tanny.
To your shot of like, with like that vibes get down and bad around here and we should do something about it. Like, we like to have a group that'll police itself around here. We're all veterans. We don't need that garbage. You know what I mean? That fake rah-rah.
We don't need anybody to step. Well, how about actual rah-rah? I could use some actual rah-rah.
Shane?
Yeah.
I'm bringing in that petting zoo tomorrow.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Karaoke on Wednesday.
I'm wearing pajamas on Friday.
I'll bring in a mime.
Oh, I don't wear pajamas.
I forgot about the mime.
Yeah, the mime was my favorite.
There was a mime. There was a magician. That was my favorite.
They commissioned Art.
Art Norman just came in and spoke to the team.
Yeah, Joe was really—he was scrambling.
He did a lot. This is the Mona Lisa, and about turning the 6-4-3 double play.
That's true.
This is Leonardo da Vinci's take on going first to third.
Hey, guess what? It worked. It worked more than what Craig is doing.
Yeah, sure.
It did?
Sure.
Granted, it was a much better baseball team.
Yeah, right.
No.
That was part of it. Magnificent.
But also, like, sometimes when a guy does that, even if it makes you roll your eyes, it's something you can unify against. I always think of this moment in the Get Back documentary, one of the greatest bits of filmmaking that's ever done. Peter Jackson's documentary about the Beatles, when they're making, I think it's Let It Be. It's the Let It Be sessions, I believe it is.
That was by the Beatles.
But McCartney admits, he's like, we miss Mr. Epstein. They miss the manager, Brian Epstein. He would tell He would tell us to put on the suits.
Shane, careful with your jokes.
Sometimes we didn't put on the suits, but at least someone was there telling us what to do. And they would rally either for him or against him. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like, I don't know. Like, they don't seem to be rallying together. And I don't know why the hell that is happening, but it seems to be happening.
What happened to those visitor logs, Tanny? They were supposed to be published and they never were.
Coming up next, you think that the expectations are too high for Caleb. What about this defense? Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.